The Bible says, now when they, mean the they, since I'm in the middle of a story, it's the chief priests, scribes, elders. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all, them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. Heavenly Father, again, thank you for our time to be here, a place to meet. Thank you for the fellowship that we have amongst ourselves. As mentioned already, we pray for those that are not with us, Lord, for whatever the reason, and pray that you would just speak to hearts, Lord. Help us, Lord, be faithful in carrying this gospel message out to those about this community. Lord, we know you honor that, you bless that. Lord, help us to see people saved. I pray you speak to each heart here today and put this service we committed into the Holy Spirit's hands, Lord, to do with it as you will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I got the title of our Sunday school we were talking about. In James, we're doing Sunday school. Paul's teaching that on about, you know, faith. If a man says he have faith, but he doesn't have anything works, which would be anything in his life that backs up what he claims, could that faith save him? Or is that saving faith? It's not talking about a work salvation. It's just talking about saving faith. And so I said, well, you know, what I'm going to preach on today, kind of the title would go right along. You know, passing inspection is the title of the message, and I want to talk to you about that. Now, I know I started out in the middle of a story here. I'm going to fill in the details for you now. All the way back in chapter 3, this miracle that's talking about this man that was healed is actually the first apostolic miracle, what we would call a miracle, first apostolic miracle in the Bible. It's the first person that was healed, anything done as far as what the apostles could do. And so they were, as Peter and John in chapter 3, they were on their way to the temple to pray. It was about the ninth hour, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon in their time. And there was this lame man that was laid at the gate. He was laid there. Somebody brought him. In other words, he couldn't walk. They laid him at the gate every day, and he asked for alms, which would be, you know, begging for money, basically, is what he did. He couldn't work. He couldn't walk. And he laid there every day. And, of course, Peter and John, they come along. They're apostles of Jesus Christ, and they're empowered by Christ. They could do some things that they had power to do things in the name of Jesus. And this man was asking for money, and Peter said to him, looked to him and said, listen, silver and gold we don't have any silver and gold, but what we have we'll give you. And he said, rise up and walk. And right then the guy rose up and he walked. And I mean, this was a miracle. They had power to heal. They had power to raise the dead, by the way. They had power over demons, cast out demons. They could heal the blind. They had the same power that Jesus had because Jesus empowered them. And he jumped up, man. He rose up, walked right away, went into the temple, and he went in and he was praising God. And it gave Peter this opportunity to preach Jesus Christ. This was the opportunity. That's all it was. The miracle didn't do anything. I mean, it amazed people, but it didn't do anything for anybody's soul. It didn't do anything as far as salvation goes. And Peter preached, and he preached to the crowd. I mean, he preached the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the same thing that we preach today, and that through faith in him. They asked him, by what power, by how did it happen? He said, and he told them that. He said, through this man, Jesus Christ. He said, is this man made whole? Made whole. I love that phrase right there, made whole, because I believe not only was the man healed physically, but I think he was healed spiritually. And here's the thing about this. See, we could have health. I got pretty good health. I mean, I'm getting old like everybody else, but I got really good health. I mean, I don't take it for granted. I'm not bragging about it. I thank God every day that I got good health. Not everybody has health, but I'm going to tell you what, you could have the best health in all the world and not be saved, and you're not whole. Huh? You're not whole because you're missing the most important thing in life is not your health. The most important thing is the condition of your soul or the destination of your soul. And that's a life without Christ. I mean, this is what we need to preach. This is it. Man, we get carried away about people's health. And I have nothing wrong with praying. We pray for everybody that's sick and this and that and the other thing. But I'm going to tell you what, your soul is the most important thing that you have. We have to preach Jesus Christ, Him and Him crucified. He died for our sins. This is what Peter preached about. It wasn't no big deal to him. It wasn't no big deal about healing the lame man. The big deal was that Jesus died and he was resurrected from the dead. That was the big deal. He even mentions it right there back in chapter 3, and I'll refer to it here in just a minute. But, you know, then what happened was when they heard about this and then the preaching that went on, the captain of the temple came. This is all in chapter 3. And the Sadducees came. They didn't believe about in an afterlife, by the way. They didn't believe in a resurrection. They came and it said they were being grieved at the message. They were grieved at the message that he preached. And they laid hands on them and they locked them up until the next day. And then they had an inquiry. Or they had an inspection. I use that word. It was the chief priest. His family was also there. His relatives, the rulers, the elders, and the scribes. I mean, this was a big group. They brought all these people in and say, "We're gonna examine these guys. We're gonna inspect them, and they're gonna find out exactly what happened." They wanted to know, you know, who they were, what, you know, what they had done. They wanted to know the what. They wanted to know the who they were, and they wanted to know the how, by what authority, and what power had they done this thing. They even used the wording right there. Actually, it was up in chapter 4. They said in verse 7, I didn't read that to you, I don't think. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, by what name have ye done this? They didn't even want to call it a miracle. They didn't want to mention what it was. By what power have you done this? This thing that you did. They didn't want to say that. And of course, it gave them another opportunity to kind of preach to this little group right here, Jesus, you know. And then what they wanted them to do, they wanted them to quit preaching. Now, what I noticed about that when I was reading it this time, they didn't tell them to quit healing anybody. They didn't say, hey, listen, don't be going out there and healing any more lame men. Or didn't add any other physical thing in there. No lepers, no blindness, nothing. They just said, just quit preaching in this name, this guy's name. See what I mean? See the importance here? It's not the healing that's the most important thing. It was the preaching of the gospel that was galling them more than anything. And this is what they wanted them to quit. So what does this mean for you and me? There's a guy up in... what's that area over there? McLean, I think, Virginia. It's up in northern Virginia. This guy, he's got Jewish background, but he's a Messianic Jew, I guess we'd say. He's trusting Jesus and all that. His name's Lon Solomon. He used to preach on the radio. And he'd always preach. He had a church, and I'd hear him on the radio. And he would always preach, and he would ask a question, or he would make a statement like we're doing. And then he'd say, okay, I know what you're thinking. So what? He always would say that. So what? Okay, so that's today. That's your question today. So what? What does that mean for you and me? What does all this mean? If it don't apply to us, it doesn't mean much, right? What does it mean for you and me? Well, I'll tell you what. If you claim to be a Christian, if you claim Christ, if you claim to be saved, you're being inspected. You're being inspected by at least two. Well, one's a group and one's not. But this world is inspecting you. I can give you two groups, three groups. This world's inspecting you. Your family's inspecting you. And God's inspecting you. Huh? Even though God knows all things, He's still looking. He's still looking. If we claim to be saved, the world is watching. The world is watching. Your family's watching. Listen, we live in a small town. Y'all know that already, right? I mean, who don't know what about anybody, huh? We can find out anything about anybody. Just ask somebody else. Everybody knows, right? We find out stuff, man, before it even happens. We find out all about it because we live in a small town. And everybody knows what you may be claiming to be. Everybody knows where you go to church or that you go to church. They see. They see you riding around. They know, yeah, they go down there. They got you attached to that. They know that. And then we go, we see everybody everywhere. Got to go to the carnival once a year just so you can catch up on the people that live two blocks away that you never see. Me and Sherry went down to the carnival one night. We went down Thursday night. Wasn't too many people there. Thank the Lord for that. It took 30 minutes to get to the ice cream stand. Huh? That was it, man. As soon as we get in the gate, just step in the gate. There was Arthur. Arthur met her talking to somebody that's related to the Gores. Found out, didn't know that, but I mean, I had to go through a long list of people. Related through Cotton, I think. Cotton. So we talked to them a couple of minutes. And then before we got away from them, we turned, and there was somebody else standing there that we knew. We hadn't seen in a while. Talked to them. There were some people that we see from the Sunflower Festival that are vendors. We saw them, you know. I'm thinking, man, I'm having a butter pecan withdrawal, symptoms kicking in, man, trying to get to the ice cream stand. And we saw, and then we saw Mike and the grandkid. We saw, and it was Barrett and Kendall and Tyler, and it's like, man alive, you know, they're going to run out before we get down there, man. And it's the same way, you know, you go around, you try to make one lap. We'll be back. We're going to make one lap around the carnival. 2 hours later, you get back to your chair. But we're in a small town. And so we see everybody, gas pump, Dollar General, that's another place you can hang out and find people that you can't. Huh? All the cops got to do looking for a criminal is just stay at the dollar store, man. They're going to find them. They're going to show up down there, right? We got restaurants everywhere. Then, of course, you know, there's our families at home, our children. This whole community is taking note. They know. I don't have to go nowhere, man. They know I'm a preacher. Man, it's aggravating, too, because sometimes I just like to go off on somebody. I say, it'll look bad on Christ, won't it? Then it'll look bad, because then you guys will say, yeah, I go down there to Valley. Oh, that preacher Daniel Boone, you go down there to that church, that guy, man, he flew off the handle over here on somebody. Oh, you ain't seen nothing, you could say, right? I mean, you know, everybody knows, man. Everybody knows. They know I'm a preacher. Now, they know. When I started pastoring the church, I still worked a job. They knew. Oh, man, I had to. Didn't it, Jesse, huh? You never felt like killing nobody down there at Connex, did you? Probably me. He probably felt like killing me. Jesse worked down there too, right? But here it is. The world is looking. The world is looking at you. And if you're claiming Christ, here's the question for you, the so what question. Are you passing the inspection? Are you passing the inspection? That's what I want to talk to you about today. Very first thing, I got 3 points to go along with it. The very first thing we see, this miracle. I told you already, it said in chapter 3, verse 2, that this man was lame from birth. So he was born with something wrong with his feet. Legs, whatever, he just couldn't walk. And that they laid him daily at the temple gate, at the gate of the temple. They laid him there every day. I don't know what age, obviously, they didn't lay him out there as a baby, and he's waiting out there. But when he got old enough, you know, of age, somewhere along, so most of his life, it told us later on that he was above 40 years old. So 40 years around, he had laid at the temple gate, which means what? Everybody saw him. Everybody, just like a small town, right? Everybody went by there, and if they saw him, they might not have known his name, but they said, that's that guy that lays out there at the temple gate all the time. I see him at the temple gate all the time. Don't know his name, don't know his family, but they might have. They might have. You know how it is. It's a small town. They know them. There's people I see in Buchanan. I do not know their name. I see them all the time. Just passing around. I recognize them. How you doing? Don't know anything about them. Same way. Everybody'd seen him. They knew about him if they didn't know, as far as him being lame and being at the temple gate, if they didn't know anything else. So here he was all these years. But what happened, and their problem was the Pharisees and or the scribes and the chief priests and the scribes and the elders and that, their problem was that they said, man, you know, that was the problem. Everybody knew this guy was really lame. They had seen him over, you know, for around 40 years. They'd seen him at the temple gate. But when he was healed, the Bible says that he stood up. Man, he walked into the temple praising God. That's back in chapter 3. He walked into the temple praising God. And everybody saw that. And now they go, uh-oh, we got a problem. But we can't deny it. We can't deny that a notable miracle had been done. See, they even talked about that. It said in verse 14 of our text, I did read, and behold, and the man which was healed standing with him, they could say nothing against it. And they said in verse 16, they commanded those guys to go out, the apostles, what shall we do to these men? For indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, and is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. Why? Because everybody in Jerusalem went to the temple, and everybody in Jerusalem had passed by the lame guy that was laying there. And we can't deny it. We can't deny that. And they didn't really have a problem with that. The problem was they preached, because he went on up there and they said, henceforth, he threatened them and told them that henceforth they speak to no man, henceforth to no man in this name. And so that was the problem. And so here we have this miracle. And you know, this guy here, he jumped up when he got healed. This, I love this. This is a good going to church verse right here. When he was lame, he jumped up and leapt, and he went strutting into the temple with the apostles. You know why? Because before he got healed, he couldn't go because he was lame. He couldn't go past the beautiful gate because the beautiful gate led into the inner court, and nothing unclean or what the Jews deemed unclean. He'd never been able to go his whole life. Huh? But what happened now? He got healed. He made whole. He's set. You know what we call? He's a saved man now. And now, man, he can go into the temple and worship God. See, you can't really worship God even though you're here if you're not saved. You can be here and go through the motions, but you got to be saved. You got to be made whole by Christ. And that's what really happened to the guy. Besides his physical healing, man, I believe it was a spiritual healing. Well, he was praising God for these things. The law wouldn't allow him to go before. He couldn't pass the beautiful gate. But now he could. This was a miracle. So they can't deny it. So in other words, the miracle, the transformation, and let me tell you something, the biggest miracle that ever happened to you will not be physical healing. The biggest miracle that will ever happen to you is that you are born again, by the Spirit of God. That you're saved. Nothing's going to top it. Nothing's going to top being born again and the Holy Spirit of God comes and lives in your heart and soul. That's going to be the greatest thing that ever happened to you. And I'm going to tell you something. When it does happen, there's going to be a little something going on, a little cut in your strut. You're going to go and you're going to praise God. You're going to worship God. And you're going to go out there and tell everybody about God. That's just the reality of it. No, I can't and I'm afraid. Blah, blah, blah. No. He was jumping up praising God. Do some of you good. Huh? Jumping up and praising God and going into the temple. Man, I mean, he was ready. This was the greatest thing that ever happened to him. The miracle passed the inspection. Huh? It was real. See, so what happened? The world is looking at you. Oh, you claiming Christ? Let me see the miracle. Let me see the miracle. Well, what's that, preacher? What's that? It's a transformed life. I mean, man, it's a transformed life. People saw how you were for 40 years. And now you got saved and you're the same? No, sir. When you got made whole by Christ, if you got made by whole by Christ, the people look at you and said, well, I can't deny it. He isn't the same as he was before. Huh? Woo! My wife, when I got saved and I got to be a preacher, man, my wife had ran into the people she used to work with. We used to go out partying with them every Friday night, you know, when they got off work. She probably don't want me to tell that, but she ran into some of them. She was back there visiting her mom and dad. How's Daniel doing? Oh, he's a pastor of a church. What? What? He's a pastor of a church? What happened? A miracle happened. Got saved, right? And everybody ought to look at you and say, man, that old Daryl Spangler, I almost called you Greg, that old Daryl Spangler right there said, I remember him back in the day. Something happened to him. They might even say, I don't believe in God. They might even say, I don't believe in Jesus. But all they can say is, we can't deny that he's the same old boy that he used to be. I mean, that ought to be able to say that about every single one of us. Every single one of us, that we're not the same person. You can't be. You can't be. You got to, if you're saved and the Spirit of God's dwelling in you and you were lost as you could be and now you're saved, you can't be the same person. Amen. Impossible. That's the evidence. The world's inspecting. The world's looking. And they see it and they'll say, well, I can't explain it. But I can say, I can't deny that something's different. That's the way it ought to be. That's just the way it is. That's the way it was with this guy. Everybody, because see, we were all pretty lame at some point in our life, right? Yeah, when we're lost, yeah, we were it. And that was it. And boy, they passed the inspection. They didn't want to admit it, but they had to admit it. And they asked, they said, "What? By what power, by what name have you done this?" Oh boy, you're talking about the door swinging. And that's the whole deal. See, when somebody says, well, I can't understand, how come you always got a smile on your face? Huh? By what power? How come you change? What's so different about you? What? That's what they're really asking. By what power did this happen? Well, let me tell you. Let me tell you about it. You want to know? Sit down right here, son. You know, you was born lost. You're lost. You're on your way to hell. Unless you trust Jesus Christ like I did. And then you'll understand. Then you got it. Boy, the door don't swing any open any wider than this. All the miracle did was give Peter a chance to preach Jesus Christ. He didn't even talk about the miracle no more. He didn't talk about it. He talked about Jesus. That's the key right there. And here we are. Greatest miracle. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Made whole. So, the world can't deny it if we pass the inspection. It's looking. They may not say anything to you. It's looking. The world is looking. Then he had the message. The message is the next point right there. After the lame man was healed, it got everybody's attention. It didn't. Not anybody got saved because of that. But it got their attention, and it gave him that opportunity, as I said, to preach. And like I said, it's the same thing for you and I. Our transformed life is supposed to be the miracle that gives us an opportunity to tell somebody about Christ. And people see there's a difference. But the miracle of salvation has got to be seen for the opportunity. And Peter said this. I'll read this to you in chapter 3 because I said this is what he said about it. You know, it said in verse 11, and the lame man which was healed held Peter and John. All the people ran together unto them in the porch, what is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. They were wondering about the miracle. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we made this lame man walk? And then he went on to say, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to be let go. But ye denied the Holy One, the just, and desired a murderer be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses, and through and his name, through faith in his name, hath this man made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, by the faith which is in him hath given him the perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Man, he preached the gospel to him. What Peter's really saying, what do you marvel at this for? This ain't no big deal. This is nothing. He said, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, that's something. Huh? Because that old lame man, he's going to die one day. If you get healed from whatever you got wrong with you, guess what? You're still going to die somewhere along if the Lord don't come back. Huh? That is not the greatest miracle. The greatest miracle is salvation. The greatest miracle is the life of God dwelling in you. That's why Peter's basically saying, what are you marveling at this for? It ain't no big thing. He said, this is a big thing. And then he went to Jesus. This is it. See, we emphasize too much the works of Jesus and not Jesus himself. Huh? It's Jesus himself, this miracle. Why marvel at that? And this is the thing, though. This is the thing that really galled him. I didn't read it this far either, but in chapter 4, verse 2, it said when they preach, verse 2 says this, talking about the high priest and them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. See, it didn't grieve them that they healed the lame man. It grieved them that they preached Jesus Christ. That's the thing that got them. Nobody'd have a problem with you just healing somebody that's sick. It's preaching Christ and him crucified. Verse 18, they said, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in Jesus' name. They didn't say don't heal anybody. They said don't preach or teach in Jesus' name. That's the only thing they were worried about. But you know, here's another thing. That healed man didn't cause anybody to believe in Jesus' name. Didn't work. Didn't do it. You got to preach Jesus. Just the healing's not going to do it. It didn't. Nobody believed in that. And the scribes and Pharisees knew it too. They knew that people were believing in Jesus' name because he was preaching the resurrection from the dead, the crucified Christ. That's what they knew. They knew that was the problem. The testimony's okay. The testimony's not bad, but you got to go from the testimony of your healing to Jesus Christ, the person of your healing. And that's what, you know, God told us what? Go into all the world and do what? He didn't say necessarily give a testimony about a healing. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go and teach in all nations. This is what he told us to do. That's the command that we have. Matter of fact, when the apostles died off, nobody else has got the power to heal except Christ. I mean, Christ's the only one which he had the power to start with, but all those ministry, those sign gifts died away. Why? Because they didn't work anyway. Nobody got saved because of them. That's the message. But they went on and said, hey, listen, we ain't quitting. if they was from Buckhannon, that's how they'd have said it. We ain't quitting. They said, no, you judge, they said, you whether it be right to listen to you or listen to God. What should we do? Listen to God or listen to you? Well, what are the chief priests going to say? He had to say, well, you know, if he did answer it, he didn't, but he would have had to say, well, you got to listen to God. Right? And they went on and preached. Because here's the thing, listen, the devil can do miracles. Look at the world we're living in now. I was thinking about this. And we went through Revelation, we studied that, and we talk about what the Antichrist will do, and all these people will see these marvelous things, and people will think, oh, he's, you know. Look what AI does today. Look at AI. Some of the best music that you can find online, some of the best singers and all that. If you ever get any singers and they don't show the picture of the people singing, there's this one I watch. It's some Italian named guy. He plays the guitar. You see the guitar, you don't see his head. It's AI. Who's singing it? AI? It's AI. Man, they're creating some. There's people out there, these digital people that do this stuff. And if you can't sing, this isn't a bad thing to get into. They can create a song, you know, with the tone of the voice and everything, man, and make it sound a certain way, get the words and put lyrics. They can create their own lyrics and put it to a song. And it'll say, it's great. There's some great songs out there, but it's AI created. Doesn't make the song any, well, maybe it makes it less, but it still sounds good. But you don't know what's real. You see pictures of this and that. Look at that, man. It's a three-headed shark. Jaws coming. Somebody's made it up. You know, it's just made up. The devil can do miracles. That's why God doesn't use miracles to convince anybody. Preach the gospel. It's the gospel. And the gospel message and their message passed the inspection. It passed the inspection of the world, and it even passed the inspection of the scribes and the high priest, it passed the inspection, because that's why they was against it so hard. They were set up against it. It passed. If it didn't have any power to it, they wouldn't have cared. But they did. And then we see the men in verse 13. Let me read verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. That's a powerful verse. Unlearned and ignorant. That just meant this, that they hadn't gone to college. They hadn't gone to probably any school, mom and daddy's school, University of Adversity. They hadn't gone there. They weren't learned in the scriptures like the priest and the scribes probably and Pharisees and said they studied Old Testament scriptures. In other words, these were just average people. In that day, the classes of people were poor and rich, educated, uneducated. Those were the two classes. Everybody fell into one. These guys were just run-of-the-mill guys. They were fishermen. You know, that's what they did. That people were, you know, worked with animals or fished or grew things. That's about what people did. And the guy that they were following was dead, as far as they were concerned, Pharisees. He was dead. But these guys said that they took note. You know what that means? They inspected them, and they said, these guys have been with Jesus by how they talked, how they looked, how they acted, what they did, what they could do. They took note. What's the world see when they see you, if you're claiming Christ? They taking note that you've been with Jesus? Are they taking note? They passed. They passed the inspection. And Satan and this world and the lost have been trying and are still trying to silence God's people. And they know who you are. They know the ones. If you're not saying anything for Christ, they don't have to mess with you. Satan doesn't have to mess with you. You already do anyone you want. These guys said, listen, we're not going to make a decision on what we're going to do based on what's safe or what's popular. They said in verse 19, we're going to preach. We're going to do what's right. They can't help it. They're going to do what's right. That was the keynote probably of all the apostles, the true followers of believers of Jesus, man. They couldn't shut up. As a matter of fact, there was a couple times when Jesus healed somebody and he told them. I think Jesus got a smile on his face, man. I mean, I can just see the irony of this. And he never condemned them. We never hear anything about it. But he said, listen, and it had to do with the timing of when he would probably be arrested and crucified. But he said, listen, don't tell anybody about it. I think he was probably biting his lip because he knew good and well the guy couldn't keep his mouth shut. Yeah, you know, he healed him, cast out demons. Don't tell anybody about this. And what does it say? The next thing it tells us, man, he went everywhere abroad spreading what Jesus had done for him. And I think that's in there so that we can see when it's real, even if Jesus tells you not to do it. And it never says Jesus condemned him for doing it. You can't shut up. You're passing the inspection. The men passed the inspection too. And it had to do with their convictions. This was their conviction. They could not stop from speaking about Jesus. In other words, this is one way about the life that they had. It has to do with your conscience. Everything they did with a conscience toward God. Everything they did or didn't do, they did it with a conscience towards God. They were always thinking about God. 1 Peter 2:19 says, for this is trustworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. If for our conscience sake, you know, we can endure things wrongfully. These men passed the inspection. They passed the inspection from the world. They passed the inspection from God himself. They preached the message from God. So, and the world took note. that they had been with Jesus. Can you pass that inspection? What does your testimony look like? Think about this as we're getting ready to close. I'm about done. I don't know if Tori, if you're coming on the piano, and Paul, you're coming up here, you can come up. What does the world see? What is your testimony? Does it pass the inspection of the world as far as God's concerned? Does your testimony pass that? Does it pass it from God's point of view? Your life, is it passing the inspection? We know your works, do they pass the inspection from God more particularly than what the world would see? But are the world seeing anything? You know, I asked the question with our Sunday school lesson on faith today. Ask this question. What are you doing for God that would take faith? What are you doing for God that would take faith? I mean, we were talking about, well, you know, going over and helping your neighbor, which that's good, and the Bible talks about it, and actually in the text we were in, it talked about that. But it don't take particular great faith in God to go help your neighbor out. Huh? What about teaching a Sunday school class? We got VBS coming up. I thank God for all the workers we have, but it doesn't particularly take a lot of faith to hand out animal crackers. It takes faith to teach a class, faith in God. What are you doing for God? If you're a Christian, that you have to exercise faith in to do for God, right? Because listen, life's going to go on. You can say, well, you know, well, I'm getting through life. Hey, you was getting through life before you got saved. There's people getting through life to 100 years old without God. It doesn't take faith to do it. What are you doing? Are you passing the inspection from God? That's the most important inspection. The world is seeing, and that has a positive and or negative effect, by the way. A positive or negative effect. It does. You think, well, I just want to be neutral. You can't be. You're either with him or against him. That's what the Bible says. If you're not with him, you're against him. If you're with him, you're serving him. Huh? What's the world see? Is it passing inspection? Are they going to say, hey, is the world taking note and saying, that guy's been with Jesus. That lady's been with Jesus. I can tell by how they're acting. They're acting different. Even if these guys were lost that said it, they took note that they'd been with Jesus. Are you passing that inspection? And then what does God see? There's something to think about. It's heavy stuff. Heavy stuff to think about. Come on up, Paul. Lead us in a word of prayer. Invitation.
Thank you, Pastor. Hymn number 308. Let's stand together. I surrender all.
All to Jesus I